5. "Your Native American friend?" Jesse said. "Good for you for not saying Indian," Molly said. "Even the Cleveland Indians aren't going to be the Indians for much longer. And the Redskins aren't the Redskins." "And don't call him my friend," Molly said. "He did have benefits, though." They had first met Wilson Cromarty, who claimed he was Apache when he was part of a crew, Jimmy Macklin's, that had blown up the Stiles Island Bridge and essentially taken everybody who lived over there hostage. Jesse had lost 2 of his cops during the siege. Finally had gotten to Stiles by boat and shot Macklin dead. Molly had been the one to capture Macklin's girlfriend. When it was all over, Cromarty, known as Crow, had gotten away with millions of dollars, actual amount still unknown to Jesse. Crow had gotten away on a speedboat. Jesse was sure that it was the last he would ever see of him. But he came back to Paradise 10 years later, outside the statute of limitations for the money with which he'd gotten away, denying that he had killed anybody before he took off up the coast. At the time, he was tracking down the runaway daughter of a Florida gangster. But then Crow decided he couldn't give the girl, Amber Francisco, back to a bum like her father. Jesse helped him save the kid from the father's men. The father later ended up dead. With no way of knowing or ever proving it, Jesse assumed that Crow had just gone down to South Florida and gotten it done, before disappearing again. While Crow had been in Paradise the second time, he had spent one night with Molly Crane, the first and only infidelity in her marriage to Michael, another time when Michael had been out of town. Other than Molly and Crow, only Jesse knew what had happened between them. Michael Crane, according to Molly, had never found out that the mother of their 4 children, a Catholic almost as Catholic as the bishop, had slept not just with another man, but a criminal. Jesse had always thought he understood the need upon which Molly had acted that night. It was the same sort of need, bordering on obsession, that he'd had for Jen during their marriage and long after it had ended, no matter how much she slept around. Crow had been like that for Molly Crane. There was no way to know what would have happened if he had stayed in Paradise, what further damage she might have done to her marriage and to her career. But she never had to find out. He left after he and Jesse had saved Amber Francisco. Now she thought he was back. "We don't even know if he was really an Apache," Molly said. "One of many things we don't know about Crow. He could have been lying about that." "Hard to believe," Jesse said. "A button man and thief being that unreliable. What can you even believe in anymore?" "But you admitted you couldn't have saved Amber without him," Molly said. "In a way, you used him too." Jesse grinned. "Strange bedfellows," he said, "so to speak." "Sonny's right," Molly said. "You're not as funny as you think you are." "Why are we back to talking about Sonny?" Jesse said. "Oh," Molly said, "so you can bust my chops about Crow, and I can't bust yours about her?" "You're the one who thinks she saw him," Jesse said, "if it was him." "And if it was," Molly said, "what was he doing there after we found Neil's body?" Jesse waved at Daisy for the check. She smiled and gave him the finger and told him to get lost. "I've put off going to the station as long as possible," Jesse said. "You get to hold a press conference," Molly said, "just like a big boy." "I could just barricade myself in my office," Jesse said. Molly smacked her forehead. "Why didn't I think of that?" They came around the corner and saw the television trucks parked on both sides of the street, and the microphone set up just outside the front door. The media beginning to form what Jesse imagined to be a gaggle of geese. Jesse stopped and sighed. "Any last words, soldier?" Molly said. "Fuckity fuck," Jesse said. "The first one's not even a real word," Molly said.